morning, family. Amen. I have a message, and honestly, y'all, I don't know how it's going to come out today. I can either start jumping or crying, so we're going to see which way that goes this morning. But amen. So we've been in a series entitled The Art of War. That seems so aggressive, doesn't it, for a believer? The Art of War. And I want to just submit to you that if you don't already know it, every day we wake up, we're going to fight some kind of battle. Yeah. May not be a physical battle, but it's certainly a mental one, certainly an emotional one, certainly a spiritual one. I like what Dr. Tony Evans said. He said, you know, you live long enough, you realize that life is not a playground. Life is a battleground. It's a battleground. And sometimes we think as believers, oh, well, we have it all, so why are we fighting? Let me tell you, you can have all the victory afforded to you in the world, but if you don't start taking some of the principles of the Word of God serious, you'll never see it. You'll never see it. Not that you don't have it, just that you may not see it in this lifetime. But how many of you know that if His kingdom is coming here, then that's His desire for you, that you see it, that you see the goodness of the Lord when in the land of the living, now, now. So I want to share with you some principles today. I have a really catchy title. As we are soldiers in the army of the Lord, my title today is Get in Formation. Get in Formation. Now, Beyonce was talking to the ladies, but I say everybody, everybody, let's get in formation. Amen. So I want to give you a little story. You know, it's so funny as we tell stories, me and Vince. I hope you're hearing our heart and that we're not telling you stories that were just like perfect, right? Like perfect Pastor Patty. Everything's so great with them. Absolutely not. We want to share with you our victories, but I think it's just important that we share with you our struggles as well. And so many of you know about three and a half months ago, woo, time flies. We just had a little baby boy. And we've never told this story before. Honestly, I kind of wanted to forget the story, but I feel like it's appropriate for now. So 3.5 months ago, we had our little baby, Asher, and he was a miracle baby. You know, we had been praying for this for some years, and the Lord blessed us. And we were just over the moon, excited. I was laying in the hospital bed, and I had just delivered him. Praise the Lord. And they put that little baby in my arms, and I was just over the moon, excited and happy and grateful, just grateful I was holding what I had prayed for. And y'all, I'm telling you, not even an hour later, after holding this little baby, the nurse comes in, and she says, yeah, Ms. Thomas, well, we kind of ran some tests on Asher, and it's looking like he has low blood sugar. And I said, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, yeah, well, you know, you just need to feed him. Get him eating so he can raise up his blood sugar. I said, okay. So then we start feeding him and whatever. And then they come in an hour later and say, oh, Ms. Thomas, he's not gaining weight like he should. His blood sugar's not going up. Something must be wrong with his suck reflex. He's not sucking right. So then they started giving me a syringe to feed my baby through a formula through a syringe. I said, well, okay, well, let's do that. Then they come in again, oh, well, he's not gaining weight, he's not keeping food down, so we're going to have to take him to the NICU. This was hours after me having delivered, and it was just like thing after thing after thing. Every hour was a negative report. It was like I was getting on, it was like I was just getting lambasted with everything negative you could possibly think. How many of you know that my happy over-the-moonness went real quick from fear, anxiety, worried, I was scared for my baby, scared that he's not eating, scared that he's not feeding. What's going on? My mindset totally did a shift. And I want to submit to you today that, praise the Lord, my baby's healthy. But when it seems like you're tired physically, that's typically when the enemy's going to come. I had just given birth. Y'all know that. I was ready to go to sleep. I was tired. And here comes the enemy giving me another battle that quick to try to contend with. And here I am, nervous, worried, tired, and the enemy's just giving me all sorts of things about what's wrong with my baby. And so I'm sharing that story to tell you that battles don't come always when you see them coming. In fact, they come when you don't know they're coming. You're thinking you're in the happiest place and the happiest part, and then here comes the enemy, because he's just such a coward. He comes when you're low, when you're feeling low. And that's what he did. But I want to submit to you today that it's important to know that not only are you in a battle, but I think if you're in a battle, you got to know a few things, right? You got to know first, who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? You got to know, what weaponry you have? What do I have to fight this battle? Can I win this battle? And I want to tell you, absolutely can. You absolutely can. And so this morning, I want to give you some definitions. And one is spiritual warfare. So if you're taking notes, write this down. It says, spiritual warfare is understanding that you have an adversary. We don't talk about this much in church because we don't like to give him a lot of credence, but I do want to let you know he is still an adversary on the earth, and his name is Satan. And although he is a defeated foe, he still exists. And he will do everything he can to thwart the plan and purpose of God in your life, everything. He will lie to you. He will tempt you. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you. He will oppress and depress you. And honestly, when you're so weak in faith, you'll find yourself listening to everything he says to you, taking whatever he gives you. You'll find yourself settling for what you were never supposed to settle for, because you think, well, that's all I can do. Well, that's all I have. Well, that's all I am. And those are just lies. Those are just lies from the enemy. And if you're not vigilant, you'll begin operating out of three things: defeat, doubt, and the one that I really is hard is despair. The Bible calls despair hopelessness. And when you say hopelessness, even the Word of God says hope deferred makes your heart sick, makes you physically sick. But I want to give us some good news. If you will turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul here is writing to a church in Ephesus, and he begins to remind them of who they are and what they have. He's analogizing our spiritual walk to that of a soldier in battle. Interesting. Let's look at what he has to say in Ephesians 6 and 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to submit to you something that I had to learn. People are not your problem. People are not, can we say that together? I feel like that just needs to be, okay, let's, one, two, three. People are not my problem. Type that in the chat. People are not my problem. You say, well, Ashley, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they betrayed me. You don't know how they intentionally was doing stuff to hurt me. I want to share with you, so often we want to correlate the physical and emotional hurt we feel to a physical being, because we see a face. We want to put the pain to a face. We want to put a punch it, probably, right? So we got to stop ourselves. We got to stop ourselves from wanting to go that length. But it's true. We want to put what we hurt, and we want to give this hurt to somebody. But I submit to you, the level of anger that you carry toward another human, it actually reveals the level of doubt and lack of trust you have in God. That's hard. I'm sorry. This is something Vince and I had to walk through. And the hurt that I thought somebody did to me, and it did hurt. I'm not going to lie. It hurt. It hurt my feelings, you know. But God said, Ashley, do you trust what they did, or do you trust what I'm doing? You're looking at them. You're looking at the problem. You're not looking at me. Amen. That's hard. What does it say? It's right, but it's tight, but it's right. Amen. And so when we're in spiritual warfare, we've got to understand that people are not our problem, and the war of sin and death has been won. That's the good news, right? That's a spoiler alert. You know, my husband hates this. I will watch the same movie over and over and over again. He hates, he's like, Ashley, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Why are you watching this movie? I just love it. It doesn't matter. Like, I can watch, and it's so sad, I can watch Titanic, like, all the time. Like, it's still one of my favorite movies. I know it's a sad ending, right? But I just like it. And so here's a spoiler alert for every believer. The war has been won. That's a spoiler alert. We know the ending, right? The war has been won, but the daily battles over your mind and your body, that's up to you. The daily battles are up to you. So in The Art of War, that's actually a book. I don't know if my husband told you, it was actually a book called The Art of War. And the author is, I want to say his name right, Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu? Hey. And here's a quote by Sun Tzu. He says, a skillful fighter puts himself into a position which makes defeat impossible and does not miss the moment for defeating the enemy. Does not miss the moments. You know, a lot of what we win in life is stored by moments. The obstacle, the momentous obstacles we face in life are really won by how we steward the little moments. Even in the Bible, it says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The moments. What are we doing in those moments? When I was in that hospital room, laying in that bed with that nurse and everything, I had moments. Every time she talked to me was a moment. You know what I'm saying? And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. We'll miss the moment. And in every moment, and this is where I want to kind of camp out, we must have three things. In every moment, we must have the posture of a warrior, the position of a warrior, and lastly, the power of a warrior. In every moment, we're going to have the posture, the position, and the power of a warrior. Let's keep reading in Ephesians 6. We're now talking about the posture of a warrior. Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. So it tells you what to do. Verse 13 says, put on, right? Then it tells you how to do it. Then it says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor. If you go into another translation, body armor is really the breastplate, depending on what version you're looking at. The body armor or the breastplate of God's righteousness. So right off the bat, we see two things. We see two calls to action. The first one he says to put on. Whose job is it to put on? You're saying God just won't do it for me? Well, he gave it to you, but it's our job to use it. It's our job to put it on. He can't do that for us, right? We put it on. So what does that mean to put on? In 2 Peter 1 through 3, it says, God's given us everything pertaining to both life and godliness. We have all the keys we need right now. When he did on that cross and he died and he hung his head, he said, it is finished. Everything you need is finished. It's yours. But it's our job to spiritually put it on. What good is it to possess armor if it's not on your person? And I present to you this. It's kind of too late to put on armor when you're in the battle, don't you think? I mean, you could do it, but it'd be harder, right? You want to prepare for that thing. So I would submit to you, put on these things before you hit it. So that way, when you in it, you don't got to be putting on your helmet. Where are my gloves at? Where are my shoes at? See, you ain't got time to do all that. You need to come ready. Come ready. So that's the first one. Put on, take up all the armor of God. Number two, the call to action says, Paul says in Ephesians three times, he keeps saying stands, withstand, stand against, stand firm, stand your ground. He just keeps saying that word. You know, when somebody repeats something to you over and over and over, what does that mean when somebody repeats something? It's pretty important. I don't know if your mama ever Clean up your room. I said clean it, right? She's like, okay, I hear you, right? It's important. That's what they want you to do. Put on. And so he's saying, stand your ground. What does the word stand mean? I actually looked this up. Histeme is the Greek word. All these words, don't we sound educated, y'all? Histeme, and it's Greek, and it means to endure, to face, and to stand with courage. Well, why do I call this the posture of a warrior? This is why. Stand is a military expression that refers to a posture of opposition toward an enemy. It's how you look. It's your demeanor. You came ready. You ain't hiding. You ain't fleeing. You came ready. In fact, we will see in this scripture, there was no armor for behind you. There was only armor for Roman soldiers. They only had armor for the front. They didn't have armor for the back. There was no such thing. Why? Because you were never meant to retreat. You were meant to stand there. And so with you, there is no defeat if you don't have a retreat in you. Stand your ground. I don't care how it looks. Stand your ground. What did the word of God say concerning you? Stand on that word. Stand your ground. Secondly is the position of a warrior. The position of a warrior. He tells us to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. You know, righteousness is a position. I don't know if you realize that. Many of us think righteousness is an action. It's not. If you look it up, it's actually a noun. It's not a verb. Righteousness is not what you do. It's who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have to try to be righteous. He's made me righteous. Amen. And I want to Bible that, right? Because you're like, I don't know about that, Ashley. Righteousness, well, let's define it. Righteousness defined as the approval, the acceptance, and the justification of God towards you. The approval, the acceptance, and justification. What does that mean? You are approved. You are accepted. You are already justified. Already. We're not working to be righteous. We are righteous. That's a mindset shift, isn't it?
You shift your mind, my God.
Some of you go and say, well, you don't know what I did last week. You don't know what I did yesterday. I don't care what you did. It's not a verb. It's a noun. It's a place. You are seated. You are seated. And I want to read Ephesians for you because I love what it says. It says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, even when we were dead because of sin. So you say, what I did yesterday? Well, listen to this. Even when you were in your sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him. Hallelujah. We have more authority than we know. Some of us, we don't know how, we've never used it before or never thought we could use it. But God is saying, I approve of you, I accept you, and you are justified by me. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, but let us, since we are in the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate, right? And then it tells us what the breastplate is, of God's love and God's faith. When I know how much God loves me, and by faith how much he's given me, I'm able to stand in confidence. That's righteousness. It's not what you did. It's what do you know? I know God loves me. I know what he gave me. Stand in that. Stand in that. Amen. I want to give you some things that righteousness is not, because you'll go in some circles and they'll preach about sin. They'll preach about death, hell, and the grave, and oh, fire and brimstone. And that sounds real, it sounds real good to do things for God or to feel like we're working for our righteousness. It sounds real good. I'm not going to lie. I've done it. I'm like, Lord, I prayed today. So you got to come through. You know, you find yourself praying and praying. I went to church today. You got to come through. You know, he doesn't care about any of that. You're no more, no less loved than you are already. And that's the truth of the matter. So what is righteousness not? Number one, righteousness is not a feeling. Oh, I feel holy. Well, amen. That's great. Congratulations. Righteousness is not a feeling. So it doesn't matter how you feel. It's who you are. You know, Asher didn't have a choice in being born how he was born. He didn't have a choice in his gender. He didn't have a choice where he was being born. He just was. When he was, he was. He didn't have any control over that. That's how God is with his righteousness. When you are born again, what does that mean? You're born again. When you're born, a baby doesn't create how they were born. You don't create how you were born. You were born again. Your new nature. You were born in righteousness. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. The scripture says, behold, all things are new. Old things have passed away. You are a new creation. We say, well, I don't feel new. I don't look new. I don't talk new. What's new? Your spirit. That's new. And guess what? Your spirit is who you really are. Your spirit is how God looks at you. When he sees you, he sees Jesus. I'll say this. A lot of things that people will say, well, you know, I did this, I did that. And when we do that, we kind of cut the blood of Jesus null and void. We cut what he did on that cross null and void. Because if it was up to us, y'all, we could have done it without him. If it was up to us, if we could even do it. He realized, y'all can't do anything. I think that's a scripture. You can do nothing without me. You are nothing, can do nothing, you have nothing, you are nothing without me. And he realized that. He said, you know what? I'm not even going to let them work for my righteousness. I'm going to give them my righteousness. Because I realize they're a lost cause without me. Praise God for our big brother Jesus. Praise God. So it's not a feeling, so you can't qualify for it. You can't do enough for it. You can't perform great enough for it. You can't fast long enough for it. You know, you can fast, you get blue in the face and pass away, and it still won't matter. I mean, you would still be the same level of righteousness. You would still be the same level of righteousness. Number two, righteousness is not an action. It's a position. Like I said, if you look up righteousness in the Greek, it's not a verb. It's a noun. It's a state. It's a place. You know, what is a noun? A person, place, or being. You are a being. He seated you in a place of righteousness. Amen. That's where you are. So it's not an action. You can't earn yourself into this. So then Ashley, you say, I can't earn. How do I get it? Here's how we get it. Write it down. Righteousness is only received. It's only received. It's not earned. What am I receiving? Jesus. That's who you're receiving. It's only received. Number two, righteousness only requires faith in him. So you say, okay, well, he gave it to me. He died. I believe. Now, how do I get it? You just have faith. God, I know you died for me. Not for Grandma Nim. Not for the people who preach real good in church. You died for me. If you have that belief, you are, to this day, righteous. Amen. And lastly, we talked about the posture of a warrior. We talked about how you are to, what, stand your ground, right? We talked about the position. You are seated in righteousness. And I want to submit to you, start praying like that. Start praying from that place. Many of us pray from a place of inferiority. You know, we pray, oh, Lord, if you just will. Oh, Lord, won't you will you? He has given you everything, all the keys, everything you need right now. So pray from that place. You're not sick trying to get healed. No, you're the healed resisting sickness. Do you see the mindset shift? You're not poor trying to get rich. No, you are the wealthy in Christ, resisting lack. See yourself as a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. So is he. Lastly, we're going to talk about the power of a warrior. So what does it say? In Ephesians 6, let's go here and let's go drop down to verse 18. It says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I want to submit to you that your power is in your words and in your prayer. That's where your power is. That's where your power lies. What are you saying out of your mouth? Some of us, the enemy don't have to defeat us. We defeat ourselves by what we say. We get down on ourselves. Oh, we should have did that better. Oh, we could have did that. Yeah, there's a lot of things we could have did better. So what? Say what you are. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. You know, Matthew 16 says, Jesus has given you everything, right? So much so, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You have a spiritual voice in the heavenly realms. A lot of us don't use it, but y'all, it's time to open your mouth. It's time to see what you've been praying for. Manifest those things. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. It's time for us to start acting like that. And the enemy's so cowardly, he will come to you, he'll tell you lies, or you ain't nothing, you can't do this. And he'll put those thoughts, and Ephesians 6 calls them fiery darts he's throwing at you. And this is why you have your shield of faith. That faith comes up, and you say, yeah, well, I got Jesus on my side, and if God be before you, he is your shield of faith. Who or what can be against you? He is your shield of faith. And so we need to kind of be vigilant of the words we're saying. You know, the scripture says that the power of the tongue is, give me the scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat it shall eat, those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What are we saying? Your words have power. Then it talks about the word of God, how it's alive. And how it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, most of your defense on this is like a defense armory, right? You put on this, you put on that. The only thing we have is to defend ourselves is the word of God. That's the only thing we need. You take that word, you start saying out of your mouth, you start saying what the word of God says about you. The word of God says, my words, they cannot return unto me void. So you speak that word over your situation. I don't know what area seems to be dead or lacking in your life, but I want to say, y'all start speaking the word over that thing. We were two miscarriages in. I thought, my body can't produce, you know? What's going on here? I really had lost hope in that situation. I was thinking about other alternatives. There was a song that came on, and it just revved my spirit. And the song says, come alive, dry bones. And it says, are you waiting on heaven, or is it waiting on you? For the Holy Ghost is already in the room. The Lord spoke to me through those lyrics and said, Ashley, ignite your faith again. Ignite your faith again. Don't give up hope. I was bawling my eyes out listening to this song because I just knew it was a word for me. I'm gonna start crying. Thank you. It takes you back to that moment. But I wanna submit to you, whatever area you think is dead, can these dry bones live? Yes. Yes, they can. Speak the word of life over your situation. I'm gonna tell you, in the hospital room, the nurse came back, and at the last thing she says, oh, we gotta send them to the NICU. My husband, no. Just sprang up out of him. No. It was like we were kind of okay. placating the enemy. Okay, this, okay, that, okay. They said that NICU thing. That's where we stopped it. We was like, oh, no, this ain't happening, baby. My baby is healthy. Vince started speaking life over little Asher's body. Within the next 24 hours, y'all, all his tests came back clear.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. They tried to tell us, oh, he don't have no suckling, but he is sucking fine. He's fine. He's eating fine. He gaining weight. He a little chubby thing right now. But that was a moment for the enemy to give me a lie and see what I succumb to it. And that's what he'll do. He'll throw you out a lie and see if you'll catch it. And if we don't have our shield of faith up, but we're catching the darts, we're going to catch on fire. Put that shield of faith up and resist those darts that are coming your way. Put that shield of faith up. Believe again. I love what the scripture says. It doesn't say pray over your mountain. It says what? Speak to your mountain. And you tell it what to do. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. These dead areas in our life, speak to them, tell them what to do. He started praying over little Ash's body, you will be healed, you will be healthy, every organ's functioning in the word of God. I mean, he just, and I was so hormonal and crazy, but honey, I got right with him. Yeah. Let me tell you, sometimes someone else's faith will ignite yours. You could be down in the dumps, but then you see somebody else great in faith. You say, well, let me catch this gravy train, honey, because this ain't where it is over here. And you catch on and you ignite, you stir up the gift. Amen. Speak to your mountain and tell it what to do. You have the authority. The scripture says, you know, when the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. What does the violent do? Take it. I'm going to say this. It's yours if you want it. It's yours if you want it. You're going to have to fight for it, though. There are some things in scriptures you're going to have to fight for. If you will, just stand up with me as we close. I want to make this time kind of personal for us. You go through things, and sometimes you tell people, and sometimes you don't. But whatever your situation is, and you know those areas in your life, you know them, right? The hurt, the betrayal, the dead areas. I want us all to close our eyes in this moment. And I really want us to think about those dead areas in our life. Those things we've given up on. What is it that the enemy has been telling you about yourself, about your children, about your marriage, about your business, about your health? What has he been saying to you, lying to you? My husband taught last week on casting down imaginations. Sometimes we don't even have to imagine it. The enemy will give it to us. But it's time this morning to start casting those things down. I want us all in this moment, out of your mouth, speak to your mountain. You can do it quietly at your seat, and you tell that thing what to do. Christ has overcome. He's made you an overcomer. He called you more than a conqueror. Not a conqueror, you're more than. Everything in your life is gonna work out. I'm gonna declare that by faith. Everything that was hindering you, giving you anxiety, coming against you, it's rebuked in the name of Jesus. Put put on the whole armor of God. Actually, what is this armor? Put on him. He's your defender. He's just not the lamb that was slain. He's the Lion of Judah. And he's coming with a vengeance for his children. So I'm going to pray, Daddy, I just thank you for this time. Help us to know who we are in you, Lord. Help us to know. Forget what we did, forget what we said, Lord. Help us to focus on who we are. And Lord, every situation, we lay it at your feet even now. Your word says to cast your care, for you care for us. So in this moment, we cast that thing down, that dead thing down. We speak to it. We speak the word of God over it. It's already done. It's already done. For those who are making decisions in their heart on this morning, maybe you say, I accepted Christ, but I just didn't know. I couldn't understand how he's made me this way. I'm having trouble wrestling in my mind that I am the righteousness of God. If that's you, can you just slip up your hand while every head's bowed and every eye's closed?